On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Hello and welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. We got an early morning and we've got David Teal coming to you live from a hotel room in Charlotte, North Carolina at the ACC tournament from the Virginian Pilot. David was there for all the games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and now talking a little bit about Virginia basketball as we embark on a new era. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Preston, hope you're doing the same. I know you got a lot going on.
As do you. Let's go back to tomorrow or yesterday on Tuesday or Wednesday. Trouble keeping days of the week in mind here. UVA bowing out of the ACC tournament, a 66-60 loss to Georgia Tech. But obviously the headline, Ron Sanchez will not be retained by Virginia as the full-time head basketball coach. Looked like it was going down this road for a while, but the news came out just 3 hours after the loss, after the decision was announced. After I know you guys were kind of pressing him on, you know, he didn't really want to talk about the full-time job, and you kind of pressed him a little bit. And he said he felt like he absolutely deserved the chance to have the full-time job. But of course, that was not meant to be. Just kind of take me through on Wednesday and just kind of leading up to that announcement.
Preston, it was as peculiar and awkward as the entire season. I mean, yesterday was the embodiment of the last nearly 5 months since Tony Bennett announced his retirement just weeks before the start of competition. And Ron Sanchez did not know what the decision was when he sat for that press conference. I know that for a fact. And Carla Williams informed him and the team back at the hotel. There's no good way to do it. I don't think that was a particularly effective way. I think there was an avenue to let Ron know the inevitable ahead of time, ask him maybe how he wanted to roll it out. Because I just think that having to answer those questions yesterday, he was clearly emotionally got misty-eyed listening to Isaac McNeely talk about how well he, Sanchez, and the staff had held the team together. And Ron actually remarked, you know, this is why you coach, to hear young men, the young people under your care, talk about you like that. And he was as stand up and as gracious as he has been all season, as you knew he would be. And, you know, you said it's been headed down this path for a while. I think it's been heading down this path for 4+ months, you know, absent a remarkable season, and one probably that not even Tony Bennett could have extracted from this very limited roster. There was no way that Virginia was going to retain him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you say just kind of been heading this down this path since, you know, back in October when Tony Bennett made the announcement. And Ron Sanchez said, you know, he was like, I don't know if I'm probably not getting a job interview, because that was kind of the last 4 months, and kind of finding out very quickly. I did say yesterday, kind of hearing about the way the news was delivered to Ron Sanchez, there is no good way to tell someone that they have lost their job. I do not think that was a great way to do it. And it was kind of interesting. You know, Carla Williams was, you know, there, greeted the team as they came off the floor, gave Ron a hug, was not there for his press conference. Just kind of how was this situation handled? I was honestly a little surprised that they didn't wait till, you know, today, Thursday, just to kind of give it a little space.
I don't know what the harm would have been. The search has been ongoing again for months. They've been out there talking to candidates, vetting them. I think they've got a very, very short list at this point. And maybe they wanted to get the team before it scattered for spring break. But again, I can't imagine how waiting until this morning would have done any harm. That's what NC State did. Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack lost at Miami on a Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning, Boo Corrigan announced the decision to part ways.
Yeah, and it is clear that players have already kind of scattered. I've seen Instagram posts that they're already back home or wherever they are, and obviously that's natural because it's spring break for UVA. So it's not like, players are just like, all right, I'm done. They're just going home for spring break, and I'm sure they have a lot of decisions to make themselves in the coming weeks as the transfer portal opens on March 24th. I guess, how would you sum up this season for Ron Sanchez and UVA? Obviously, an unenviable situation for him to kind of enter there with Tony Bennett retiring. I thought it was funny on the broadcast, kind of talking about the struggles that Georgia Tech has been having injury wise, and then not really making any mention of what Virginia has kind of gone through this year. How would you sum up this year for Ron?
Well, from him, I mean, he would tell you, and he used this phrase, I'm 10 times a better coach today than I was on October 18th. I mean, I think that's the fascinating part of this, Preston, is that Ron Sanchez never looked at this as a chore. He looked at this as an opportunity, not only for personal growth, but perhaps more important, to shepherd these young people through a time they never could have envisioned. I mean, no one on October 17th in that locker room thought that their head coach was about to hang it up. And boom, it happens. And now what? And I don't think Ron Sanchez could have handled that part of the job any better. Now, were there coaching missteps? Of course there were. There are coaching missteps from everyone, i.e., Tony Bennett last year against NC State in the ACC tournament. So let's not pretend that any coach is perfect. And as Ron alluded to this week, they took way too much time figuring out how to use Day-Day Ames best. It never seemed like the big man rotation found any consistency. Now, I don't know if Anthony Robinson was unable to play yesterday, or because we never got around to asking about that. There were so many other issues hovering that the fact that neither Robinson nor Ish Sharma got off the bench yesterday was brought up or perhaps even thought of.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, these press conferences go a lot quicker than you think, and you have way less questions than you want. And there's always more that you want to ask, and so you take the chance to ask the stuff that's most pertinent. And yeah, Anthony Robinson not playing, that was definitely a big question. Obviously, he was injured, but he had played in the last three games, a limited amount, but you wanted to know why is he still hurt? Was there a reason you didn't have him in the rotation? And Ish Sharma kind of disappearing is kind of been a theme over the last month, really, kind of playing Tane Murray a little bit more in place of him. Looking at this, and you mentioned coaching mishaps and missteps. Roster construction was a big one for this team. Just kind of never felt like a conducive roster. Felt like there's a little overlap in a lot of spots. I mean, in your mind, and obviously this is going to change a lot over the next couple of weeks, how much of this roster do you expect to be back next season?
Oh, I think very little would be my guess. I think it's going to be they're going to be tearing it down to the studs, depending on who the new coach is. He may have the mindset of look at what Louisville did and just tear it down, start over, and trust yourself, bet on yourself to assemble a roster, bet on yourself and Virginia's resources, and figure it out from there. Athleticism, athleticism, athleticism. It was so glaring yesterday. And Preston, you understand because you've been in the Virginia media for a while. Up top at JPJ, where we sit, is one vantage point. But when you are courtside, like we are at Cameron Indoor Stadium or like we are at the ACC tournament. It is such a more revealing view of the game and the action and the coaches. And Virginia was out of its league athletically yesterday. Baydongo, Duncan Powell, Nathan George. They had no answer for those three.
Yeah, I mean,
Or Duncan Powell, excuse me, I
Duncan
misspoke.
Powell. Yep. It, for years, yeah, my seat was on the court, sitting there with the camera. So,
Oh, it's
kind of
true, yeah.
getting that vantage point. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen some very athletic Virginia teams be able to kind of make the rotations and do the doubling in the post that the pack line had called for in the past. And yeah, it became very evident early this year that this team was nowhere near athletically, gifted enough to be able to kind of make this a good defense. And that's why you're looking at the numbers. And I keep telling these people this, the stats go back only to 1998 as far as defensive rating, but this is the worst defense in that entire time frame, which is crazy to say because you think back to some of the Dave Leto teams and Pete Gillen teams, and this team just on a points per 100 possessions basis, it has been one of the worst defensively, and it was pretty clear and obvious. I think there's some guys that you would like to see back. I don't know the, how, likely it is to happen. I think Isaac McNealy, seeing what he did in that Georgia Tech game. I mean, talk about a guy that didn't quit till the end.
Man,
He was going full speed trying to get shots up. Are there other
he
guys that
was
come to
a
your mind?
bucket maker yesterday.
Yeah. Are there other guys that come to your mind that, you'd like to see in the program and going forward?
Well, Ames is a curious piece to me because he can get his own, and more so than anyone else. I think Kofi has some, there's some potential there. I remember talking to Jeff Jones in the preseason, the former Virginia coach, and he had observed some practices during the preseason before Tony announced his retirement. He thought Sharma really had a chance. Now, does that pan out? And what happens? You're around Charlottesville more often than I am. What happens with Chance Mallory? If this staff had stayed together in some form, my understanding is he was ready to recommit on the spot. Now, what does he think? It's going to be fascinating few weeks and months for Cavaliers basketball.
Yeah, we're kind of, you mentioned Chance Mallory there, Stab player, Charlottesville native. I've known Chance since he was in eighth grade. I think he was only 4 feet tall at the time. But
There you go.
yeah, looking back at the last couple of months, the tea leaves and Mallory setting his date. He's supposed to commit next week, on the 22nd. The rumors started ramping up about different coaching candidates and meetings happening. I know you reported it on the search firm. The kind of how the team came out against Syracuse was really concerning over the weekend. And then kind of out of the blue, Carla Williams sends out a letter to donors. And it was surprising because we haven't heard from her publicly since Tony Bennett's retirement. But it just, over the last couple of weeks, it seems like they've kind of been building up to this.
Oh, there's no doubt, and I think that letter, it told us nothing,
Yeah.
and I think that was the point, a lot of words to tell us nothing, and basically to beg for money. Don't desert us now. We need you. Trust us. And I think a lot of people are more of a wait and see at this point. And the search, while it may be close to complete, it may not be close to an announcement because it's all going to depend on when these teams finish their season. I mean, I can't imagine a situation, Preston, where it's like Jay Lucas leaving Duke before the NCAA tournament. He's an assistant at Duke. He's not the head coach. And then he goes off to Miami to become the Hurricanes' big whistle. Ryan Odom or Richard Pitino or Bryce Drew are not leaving their teams if they're in the NCAA tournament. I just can't imagine that happening.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point that I was going to talk about later. But yeah, you talk about kind of some of the unrest and, Carla Williams and UVA Athletics trying to get out ahead of the money that they're going to continue to ask for, because that's just what college athletics is these days, especially with the rev sharing coming on. There's a lot of rumors about season ticket seats and things being changed and more money being asked from season ticket holders, which I'm sure is going to go over great after the results you saw this year.
Right.
It's there's a lot to come, but let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we're going to dive fully into the coaching search for this last part of the show. We'll be right back here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I still have David Teal from the Virginia Pilot here, and we're going to get into this coaching search. We started to touch on it there in the first part of that, but David, you reported on Parker Executive Search. Your first one on that. The search firm has been kind of working behind the scenes to kind of put Virginia in a position to end this coaching search. Just where does this search kind of stand at this point from your understanding?
Oh, I think they're down to a handful, if probably less, finalists that they are vetting and talking to, especially with their representatives. There have been interview, literal job interviews, face to face, Zoom. It's amazing to think, here these coaches are in season, and yet they're out there interviewing for other jobs. It's got to be awkward. It's got to be distracting. But again, it's the portal world in which we live. This is the system and the calendar that has been devised, and there are so many unintended consequences. It's bad for the athletes, it's bad for the coaches, and maybe in some nirvana in the distant future, somebody will figure it out and bring some sanity to all this. But until then, this is what we're stuck with. And it is another path of March Madness. You talk about the tournament itself. Yes, that's March Madness. So is this.
Yeah, you talked about it before with the Jay Lucas hire down at Miami. This is vastly different situations here because that's an assistant coach. You even look at the Florida State hire with Luke Locks, a very different situation because he's an NBA assistant. These guys are available more, Jay Lucas is kind of a very, I've never seen a situation like it before, but I mean, it's more conceivable. Virginia is looking at sitting head coaches that have their teams in NCAA tournament contention, if not already kind of booked it for the NCAA tournament. So the timeline kind of comes into question here with the transfer portal opening on March 24th and everyone wanting to have their ducks in a row before then. I know Carla Williams in that letter that we talked about, that was kind of a bunch of, whatever you could say, should they wanted to have someone in before the end of the spring transfer portal. And I've kind of told people that's just wording because, they don't know when these coaches are going to be done with their seasons and be
Right.
able to take a job like this.
Exactly. And I think once teams start to get eliminated, we're going to have a pretty good idea. And we may even have a good idea before then, because these things leak and other ADs are looking for jobs. The NC State vacancy complicates things
Yeah.
in Virginia, because there absolutely is an overlap in candidates. I mean, Ryan Odom and Richard Pitino are 100% in play in Charlottesville and in Raleigh.
And
How do those
that,
dominoes fall? And oh, by the way, Preston, they have the same agent.
That is something I did not realize before, but that is the interesting part of this, because before with the Miami and Florida State situations and somewhat Indiana, like they weren't kind of in the same candidate pool. Raleigh, NC State, very much in that same candidate pool, and you're hearing a lot of the same names in both jobs. Before we get into the candidates specifically, I do want to talk about Matt Norlander from CBS Sports reported that basketball is slated to have around $7 million in that NIL rev sharing commitment for basketball, which is a pretty good chunk of change for basketball, especially when you're considering, you know, what's going to happen with the house settlement and everything. Is there going to be a quote unquote salary cap for athletics? We also just saw, you know, Virginia making a statement about cutting their diving program. So they're kind of gearing up for everything that's going on in this program. And interesting timing on making that statement right before you let go of your basketball coach. What do you, when you hear kind of that 7 million figure and kind of everything that we know about NIL and rev sharing at Virginia, how does that kind of set up for you?
Well, I always take such estimates with a boulder of salt, not a grain of salt, because there's a lot of liar's poker being played in the NIL athlete compensation game. But you know, everybody will have, if they choose to, up to 25.5 or 20.5 million to share with their athletes in revenue for 2025, 26. Now, on top of that, you can do what will, I guess, now be referred to as real NIL, and those deals will be subjected to scrutiny by a clearinghouse run by Deloitte to see if they're legit. And are they a fair market value? And that's going to be a fascinating process, because the first deal that gets rejected is going to draw a lawsuit and it's going to get messy. So is Virginia going to be well resourced? I am confident it will be. To what degree and how it compares to other ACC schools, other Power Four, Power Five leagues, I can't say for sure. My guess is it's going to be like it is now. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to have more money.
And you look at, I guess, every coaching search or every, you know, coach is being brought back. Everyone's saying, we're going to put more resources. We're going to put more NIL into this. You look at the situation in Blacksburg with Mike Young, like they put out similar kind of wording around that. NC State's trying to say that they're going to have more resources and more backing for their head coach. And so it's a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of word games and trying to come off looking good. And when you're trying to make these hires or try to get your program kind of turn around in the right direction. All right. The time everyone wanted to talk about is the candidates here. And I think the biggest name that people are talking about right now is VCU's Ryan Odom. David, I know you've kind of known Ryan and been around the program. You've seen some VCU games. I mean, he's been around kind of these circles for decades now. What can you say about Ryan? I know I saw you at VCU's season finale there against Dayton.
Well, I've known Ryan literally since he was a kid. You know, I've known his dad since he was an assistant to Coach Holland at UVA, and you know, I know Ryan's mom, and just been around the family for a long, long time. And you know, Ryan often tells the story about riding his bike to U-Haul after school to go watch practice. And how, you know, that's how he really fell for the game. So, you know, his affection for the University of Virginia is clear. And then, of course, you add the layer of UMBC and the fact that Ryan dealt the Cavaliers perhaps their most gutting defeat in program history. It would be a wonderful story if he ended up with the job. Now, I don't know if that's how it's going to play out at the end. I mean, he's been a mentioned candidate from the start. It was very logical. He did well at UMBC. He went to Utah State for 2 years, and in the second year, got the Aggies and at-large out of the Mountain West. parlayed that, came back east, had some options other than VCU, chose the Rams, and this is year two, shared the regular season title with George Mason and starts A-10 play tomorrow. Now, if the Rams were to stumble in the A-10 tournament, there's no assurance that they would receive an at-large. So if on Selection Sunday they end up disappointed and they're out of the field, could someone move quickly on Ryan at that point? I think there's a chance. But as we mentioned, I know that Ryan is in play at NC State. If Villanova makes a move on Kyle Neptune, I think Ryan Odom will be in play at Villanova. And is the Big East more attractive than the ACC right now because the Big East doesn't have football and can devote more of the rev share to bat? There are so many moving pieces. The comfort and the fit in Charlottesville, the Big East not having football. He's known the Corrigans forever, Boo Corrigan, the NC State athletic director. There is a relationship there. It is fascinating. I think what we're both trying to say is VCU is probably going to be in a coach search here in a couple of weeks, just simply because Ryan's going to have so many attractive options.
And kind of seeing how he played himself into this, he kind of mentioned his track record. He's been a head coach at a couple different stops now, which is kind of unique for him at this level to be at VCU and have already been a head coach at, I think Lenore Ryan was his first head coaching job. I know he was an interim briefly at Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yeah. And before that, kind of odd, you had a interim coach at Charlotte and then you just had a coach that was the head coach at Charlotte. But you kind of Lenore Ryan, then UMBC, Utah State, and then VCU. He's in his 10 years as a head coach, he's had 9 out of 10 winning seasons and 7 20-plus winning seasons in those years. And one of the interesting things for me, just looking at style of play and everything, VCU is one of 10 teams nationally to be in the top 35 for both offensive and defensive rating. There's only a couple other coaches that can kind of say that this year, and it's a testament to kind of a balanced style that they play, which is a little bit different.
Oh, they talk about a little bit different than UVA fans are accustomed to. Yes. I think that the unanimous opinion of the fan base is we need more offense. And there are times this season when Ron Sanchez and his team produced just that. I mean, both games against Virginia Tech were in the 70s, with each team, cracking that barrier so rare. And I think the new coach will add some juice. And Ryan likes to press full court. He had the A-10 Player of the Year this season in Max Schulga. Ryan and his staff, both at Utah State and at VCU, have recruited quite effectively internationally. And it would be interesting to see, if he indeed lands in a power conference, if he continues to mind those connections overseas.
At this point, and we'll talk about the other candidates now in a second, but at this point, is Ryan kind of the top of your list as far as you looking at this job?
Preston, I don't like to say those things simply because if you're looking for and to hire an employee, I think the connection you make with them in the interview, and as you sit down and you take their pulse, and you hear their vision, how prepared are they for the interview? How much do they have they taken the time to research your program and your needs? That's what would resonate with me. And if I'm an athletic director or if I'm a CEO, if I'm a supervisor, a manager looking for an employee, that preparation for the interview, that connection with the candidate, that is paramount. I mean, we all can look at a resume and say, oh, I would hire Ryan Odom over Richard Pitino or vice versa, however you want to play it. But to me, that connection between Carla and the candidate has to be the deciding factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, this is a hire that she's got to really stake her claim, her name on. See, given
They
some.
got to get it. Look, Virginia need they all need money, but money is so important right now. Football is not producing. Maybe it will in 2025, but we do not know.
That's for a different podcast.
Exactly. But no program or no school, no athletic department can have both football and men's basketball flailing simultaneously. It is a recipe for failure across the board. And that's why Virginia needs to get this hire right. The ACC needs Virginia to get this hire right. This is a big time decision, just as it is in Raleigh.
Yeah. Looking at the other candidates right now, Richard Pitino, obviously the one that's mentioned most often. Are there other ones? I know there was a brief courting with Shaka Smart. That one's kind of in the past now. Where do you kind of see the other candidates fitting in?
Another candidate I believe is absolutely involved is Bryce Drew at Grand Canyon. Has done very well there, kind of rebooted his career after Vanderbilt. Had a one really good season there in his first year, and then had two poor seasons and was let go. Obviously comes from a coaching family, just like Ryan Odom, just like Richard Pitino, just like Tony Bennett. Are we sensing a theme here,
I
young
know.
man? Are you with me? We like coaches' sons in Charlottesville, apparently.
I was wondering if that was a requirement of the job.
Maybe that's why Shaka Smart is not.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's the case.
No.
Obviously, we're kidding. But yeah, it's striking to me that those three both grew up in basketball homes. And Bryce Drew hit one of the most famous shots in NCAA tournament history. Who was it? Ole Miss?
I believe so, yeah.
I believe that's who was, drawn,
Valparaiso,
yeah,
yep.
Valpo, drawn up by his dad. I mean,
Yeah.
it's storybook stuff, and you can still see the play in your mind, and it was amazing. And I've talked to other coaches in the industry about these three men, and they're all highly regarded. I've never been around Richard Pitino. I've been around his dad a lot,
Yes.
and everyone tells me they are nothing alike. And he has done great work at New Mexico, and they're in the tournament. It doesn't matter what happens
Yeah.
out west this weekend. They're getting in the tournament, and they were in there last year, I believe, lost in the first round to Clemson.
I think when that name started floating around, Virginia fans have such a visceral reaction to the last name Pitino. And it's interesting to hear you say they're nothing alike. Just if, what dissimilarities, I guess you could say, do you see between, the father and son?
Well, I don't know because I've never been around him, but they just
Okay.
say in terms of temperament and such. But like his dad, he has absolutely embraced the portal, like his dad has at St. John's, and like his dad did at Iona. And Preston, if he's a shell of the coach that his dad is, that might be a pretty good deal, because say what you will about Rick Pitino's past, that guy can coach. He's about to take his sixth different program to an NCAA tournament, which is a record. And he just took St. John's to only its second ever outright regular season Big East championship. He's going to be a top two or three seed in the NCAA tournament. And I believe they've lost four games this year by a grand total of maybe 15 points. I mean, you have to drive a stake through their hearts to beat them. That's how hard they play. They don't shoot it particularly well, but they guard the Dickens out of you. And he's got resources there at St. John's, and he's got the garden, and he's got it going there.
Yeah.
And I actually think that his success kind of helps Richard. Richard had some moments at Minnesota, but in the end, it didn't work out. but he's rebooted it at New Mexico. And sometimes that's what coaches and programs need. It's not like guys forget how to coach, but once things start to slide a little bit, it snowballs, and your support tends to dry up. And that's what happened in Raleigh. You look at that arena this season, and when those seats are empty and when those checks aren't coming in, you're toast. Doesn't mean you can't coach anymore. It just means that at that particular place, it has run its course.
I know some people in the media are rooting for the Richard Pitino just to get that home and home with Rick Pitino, get a trip up to MSG and get that storyline. It just writes
There you go.
itself. But real quick, you mentioned the Minnesota years for Richard Pitino, and then also with Bryce Drew, you've got this years with Vanderbilt. Both those coaches in their last, Power Four, experiences struggled, but obviously both have rebounded at, now New Mexico and Grand Canyon, respectively.
They have a much smaller sample size at Vanderbilt for Bryce Drew than at Minnesota for Richard Pitino. Now, Minnesota has never been a basketball power consistently. That's a hard job.
Yes,
You
they
know,
just fired their coach this morning.
oh, see, you're way ahead of me. I've been doing other things and was unaware that the Gophers had made yet another change. So yes, how convenient of them to make my point for me. But it's a hard darn job, and in 3 seasons is that in 3 seasons, not in the NIL era, is that a fair evaluation of Bryce Drew at Vanderbilt? I would tend to think not. But as we kind of alluded to earlier, you look at what Pat Kelsey has done at Louisville. And what some other coaches have done in their first year, you can turn it around quickly. And Tony Bennett had a bit of a honeymoon at UVA. The new coach isn't going to have that long of a honeymoon.
No.
Maybe a year, but after that, folks are, and rightfully so, folks are going to want results. And oh, by the way, donors are going to get want. ROI,
Exactly.
return on investment.
And you want to see it quicker because, like you mentioned, the success stories are out there, like Pat Kelsey, and there's many others. I know Pat Kelsey is kind of the most dramatic turnaround, you could probably say, in a program, but there are other examples out there of coaches coming in and having success immediately. I mean, look at Mark Byington, what he did at Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
There are examples out there. You can kind of reshape the roster quicker into the kind of the system and players that you want because of the transfer portal. It may not be perfect right off the bat, but you can get it at least working enough that you can have some success. So, it's going to be a interesting kind of rest of this week as the conference tournaments play out, and we'll see what Selection Sunday does, and then kind of you're kind of waiting on each little turn and twist to see kind of when this is going to kind of come to fruition and where Virginia's going to make a hire.
Exactly. I mean, my plan is to be in Raleigh next week for the NCAA tournament, but I'm also thinking, am I going to be like driving from Raleigh to Charlottesville for a news conference? And now that I think of it, and it just dawned on me, I was in Raleigh with UVA in the NCAA tournament when the news broke about Virginia Tech hiring Buzz Williams. So I may be in Raleigh at an NCAA
Flip it
tournament
around.
this year when UVA hires a coach.
It's funny how these things work. I was thinking yesterday, I was like, I was at picking up my kid from school, same exact parking spot when Tony Bennett retired, and I was the same exact spot when Ron Sanchez was announced that he was not going to be retained as head coach. So, I mean,
What announcement surprised you more than the other, though?
Yes, very. One, I was telling my brother that, no, you're crazy. That didn't happen.
Yes.
All right, that is going to do it for the Who's On podcast. Of course, we're going to be following this as things progress. But David, thank you for coming on and spending your morning in Charlotte. I know you got a day full of games ahead of you, but thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure, Preston. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for the Who's On podcast. We will be back next week. And as always, check out thesaber.com for the latest on the UVA men's basketball and a bunch of other stuff. Baseball going right now, spring football in full bloom. And we will get back to that stuff coming up in the weeks ahead. But obviously, our eyes are on basketball right now. We'll see you later here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.